Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. It's 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, November the 28th, 2022. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, of course, you can always tune us in there at 103.3 FM. And, of course, anywhere else on the planet, just go to our website to listen, ksje.com, or ask your smart speaker to play KSJE. We also want to welcome our viewers who are joining us this morning. The video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us, everybody. Coming up this morning, we're going to be talking about an upcoming training in the area a week from Friday with a representative from Sasha's Rainbow of Hope. We hope you'll join us for that conversation, which begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then, of course, later on this morning, we'll be checking in with Lewis Campbell to talk technology. It's our Monday reboot segment today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Roving with the Arts, our longstanding classical music program with Mick Hess. Mick is featuring music from Dvorak this morning. That's coming up after the news at 9:06 on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can find and subscribe to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Amazon Music and Pandora, and the list goes on and on and on. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, we've seen a mix of clouds and sunshine so far this morning. We're expecting kind of a partly cloudy day today. Currently, it's 26 degrees at the moment outside. 51 is our forecast high in Farmington today. Those winds will be kicking up, though, again, with wind gusts up to about 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Overnight tonight, windy conditions with a low of 37 tonight in Farmington. The winds continue tomorrow with a high near 40 degrees. Clear and 16 Tuesday night. Things are sunny again by Wednesday with a high of 47. And then things warm up just a little bit with highs in the mid to upper 50s towards the end of this week. Well, let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning, as I mentioned, representing Sasha's Rainbow of Hope Coalition and also talking about this important training that's coming up a week from Friday. Seth Miller is here, who is a graduate student and an intern with New Mexico Highlands University doing some work on this project. Seth is with me this morning here in Studio A. Good morning, and thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Scott.
You bet. And let's talk about this work that you are doing in conjunction with your, I guess, degree program through Highlands, and, of course, with Sasha's Rainbow of Hope here in the community. And we've had guests from Sasha's Rainbow of Hope on the program quite frequently talking about some of the work that they are doing, and they really are involved in trying to help the community understand the LGBTQ plus community and things along that line, correct?
Correct, yes.
Gotcha. And this training is kind of along those lines.
Yes. So in essence, what I am is I'm a graduate level social work student, and part of my education is to be in what we call a practicum or an internship with an organization. So I am working with Sasha's Rainbow of Hope, and we're just getting off the ground on that. So this Transgender Resource Center training is meant to be kind directed towards mental health providers, medical providers, and that sort of thing in the area.
Right.
So it starts with the differentiation between gender and sex, because those are not synonyms.
Right. And it's important, I guess, to recognize that this is being done here in the community. I guess for folks that maybe had wanted to get this type of training before, they'd have to travel elsewhere maybe to get it. You're bringing it here to the local community.
Yes, it is being done here at San Juan College, and also we were able to attend virtually. And right. We're going to be doing more things like this. Sasha's also does safe zone trainings.
Right.
Which,
go ahead.
Which are functionally similar, but not with the same medical focus.
Correct. Understood. And so this is coming up on Friday the 9th, as we mentioned, from about 9 to 4. So it's pretty much a full day thing.
Yes.
But it is free to attend.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, it's going to be in person and virtually. And there are also some continuing education credits available for this, too.
Yes. Attending, you will be able to get, it looks up to 5.5 AMA PRA Category 1 credits.
And people who follow that knows what that means.
Hopefully, yes,
right.
Because I do not.
Right, nor do I, but it sounds impressive. And I know it is important for folks in certain lines of work to continue to stay up to date on some of these credits and trainings and mm-hmm. things along that line. And so with the information that's going to be provided in this transgender health training, what are some of the things that are going to be discussed and taught, I guess, on this day?
All right. So, for example, we're going to be discussing appropriate terminology for transgender healthcare needs and barriers. So just the up-to-date terms that one might want to use, then pronoun usage, things along that nature.
Right.
And then the barriers to care and the drivers of improved health outcomes for transgender patients. So the barriers for care, ignorance, be it benign or malicious.
Right.
And things of that nature. Just it doesn't necessarily have to be malicious ignorance if you just don't know very much about a transgender, about the transgender medical providing or mental health providing.
Sure. Or the individuals, I guess, who are transgender and come to you for assistance, right? Whatever,
yes.
Whatever your position might be in your profession. So this gives some insights, I guess, into some of that as well.
Yes. So having some idea of proper transgender, how to handle pronouns, terminology, healthcare needs, that sort of thing.
Right. And all this is somewhat new, I guess, in that it's, I mean, I know that transgender people have been with us forever and been in society forever, but I think we're becoming more aware of them and how they like to be addressed and
yes.
how they can be an important part of our society and all these different things. And I think that's maybe why we're hearing more about it these days than maybe we have before. I'm just thinking that folks maybe listening to us maybe saying, you know, why are we talking about this? Because, you know,
yes.
why is this on the radio this morning?
Well, we bring this up because one can arguably state that the transgender community is the most marginalized group in America. It's when you look at information from the Trevor Project, for example, we've got the transgender community sees suicide rates far beyond even the rest of the LGBT community, who see suicide rates far beyond the heterosexual cisgender population.
Right. And so even in that population there, it's more mm-hmm. prevalent, I guess.
Yes.
Which is a tragedy.
Yes. And also there's, we call it transphobia. It's not necessarily fear. It's ignorance can also be transphobia. There is transphobia in the LGBT community. TERF is a phrase you'll hear thrown around a lot. A trans-exclusive radical feminist, who is a feminist who doesn't believe that trans women are women.
Oh, interesting.
J.K. Rowling is probably the most famous one of those.
Got you. Okay. Right. And she certainly had some instances that have been widely reported
yes.
on some of the things that she has said publicly. Mm-hmm. And so obviously it's important, I think, for all of us to try to understand more about this part of our community, because transgender people, like everybody else, are part of any community and part of what makes a community diverse and rich and nuanced and all those things that we celebrate every day.
Transgender rights are workers' rights, they're fathers' rights, they're husbands' rights, they're mothers' rights, they're sisters' rights, they're brothers' rights, they're everybody's rights.
Exactly. And so this training then, and talk to me a little bit more about who should come, because obviously, I guess, if you are providing a service in a community and a patient comes in, a client comes in, and they identify or they are transgender, it's important or imperative, I think, that you know how to relate to that person.
Yes. So this specific training is meant more for people who would be in the behavioral health therapy area or in medical providers. So substance abuse treatment providers, those sorts of people would be the target audience of this particular training, but anybody is welcome to attend who might be curious. It just might be a little more intensive than you necessarily need.
Right. But it's open to anyone.
Open to anyone.
Right. And that's an important distinction, I think, too. And a lot of folks may wonder, in our area, we're somewhat of a small community, rural area, how big of a transgender population we may have. But I imagine that we do have an important component of the community that is transgender, and it's important to recognize that.
In a town of roughly 80,000, I'd say we're here.
The county's about 120. The
county's about 120. Then we're looking at anywhere from 1,200 to 5,000.
Significant.
And that's just me throwing out some numbers. It's not five people.
Right. But it's a significant number.
Yes.
I think. And for folks in this profession, I think it's important that they realize, you know, how to understand where these folks are coming from, maybe, and how to help them when they come to them for whatever assistance they can provide.
Especially for medical providers, it's helpful because that's a very dangerous time for everybody. And being able to understand what a transgender person might need and how to make them feel better and more comfortable in the ER or the OR or the ICU is imperative. And then for behavioral health people, it completely changes the paradigm of how you're going to approach. For example, substance abuse, transgender people show substance abuse rates in the 50s to 70% in some instances. Just astronomically beyond what you might see from a cisgender. Cisgender being the term for someone who is not transgender, so someone who identifies with the gender with which they were identified at birth.
Right. Male, female.
Yes.
Those types of individuals, for sure. And all this is backed up by important data and important research that's been done that shows some of these things and backs up all of what we're talking about.
There's a poster I like to bring out every once in a while that shows how gender and sex works in a body on a biological level. And it covers both from the chromosomes to the cells to the tissues. And it's about, I forget that I'm on video, so it's about yay large. And I'd say it's only meant for probably a sophomore level medical student. It gets more complicated.
Right, I bet it does. And maybe that's why it's maybe difficult for some folks to maybe understand some of this conversation of why this is being talked about now more than maybe it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago.
Because it's not that this is a new phenomenon, it's that the focus is new.
Right.
This is, in a Eurocentric society, this is probably one of the most trans-focused, or we as a society probably have some of the most focus and awareness of our transgender people in our society compared to I have completely...
That's all right.
How to speak English, I apologize.
So no, it's early,
what
I understand.
What I'm trying to say is...
that's okay.
When you look at some societies, such as the Navajo or the, I believe it was the Lakota, who had the two spirits, they have origin myths where the two-spirited people came about, and there was some awareness of that. But when you look at Eurocentric societies and places that were descended from Abrahamic religions, like Christianity and Islam, some of that awareness has gone away. And so I think in the last 5 years, some of it has started to come back.
Got it.
But it's not that these people are suddenly popping into existence. These people always existed. They just now have a voice.
Right. And I think the rest of society is trying to understand that voice, right, and welcome that voice and be able to take trainings like we're talking about and others to maybe be able to support these voices.
Yes. And that is why we offer these trainings and the safe zone trainings that we provide to schools or to organizations that want to learn more about this issue. Because, like I've said before, ignorance itself is not necessarily a bad thing. Social work holds as one of its core tenets something we call cultural competence, which is where you need to be aware of somebody's culture to be able to work with them effectively. However, nobody is 100% culturally competent, even in their own culture.
Right, which is a good point. I think we can all understand that and relate to that in some way. But it's important, I think, with some of these things that we're talking about, that, again, for folks in those fields, that they understand when someone comes through their door who is transgender, that they know how to help that person, because they are coming usually to seek help. especially with some of the things that we're talking about here. So
yes.
To wrap up, to recap, the training is coming up here on Friday, December the 9th. That's a week from this Friday already. I can't believe we're almost in December, but here we are. And it is free. It's going to be held here at San Juan College.
Yes. And there will be lunch provided.
And lunch will be provided. And folks need to reserve a spot, though, by this week, I think is the deadline, right, for registration?
Registration closes on the 2nd.
Okay.
In-person registration closes on the 2nd, it says. So I don't know if that includes...
The virtual? Probably not.
Probably not.
I would think they just want to know how much food to have.
That would make sense.
For the in-person stuff. But you can also attend online. Mm-hmm. There is a QR code on the screen right now. So if you're watching us on video, I imagine you can point your phone at the screen and probably just get right to that website. I think that's mm-hmm. how that works.
And really, I believe we have the...
Really well.
I believe we have the flyer posted on our Facebook page.
Okay. Sasha's Rainbow of Hope.
Yes.
Right there is where you can go. And so you can check it out and find out more information. And if folks have a question that maybe I haven't asked you here, is there a way to maybe reach out maybe through Facebook to maybe ask a question about this training or other types of things that Sasha does?
Certainly. You can reach out to just send a message to our Facebook page and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we possibly can.
Okay. Very, very good. But the training will take place on the 9th here at San Juan College or online, and it is free to attend and a really important conversation to have and important skills for folks to have here mm-hmm. in our local community. So, Seth, okay. thanks for coming in and talking with me about that.
Thanks for having me on.
And good luck with the end of the semester with your studies. Appreciate it.
Let's not talk about that part.
Okay, we won't talk about that. Very good. I don't blame you at all. My guest this morning from Sasha's Rainbow of Hope, talking about the transgender health training on December 9th here at San Juan College. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 15, don't cram. While it may seem like a good idea to learn an entire semester's worth of information in one night, it's not an effective study habit, and it can cause a lot of unnecessary stress. Instead, study a little bit of information every day for at least 20 to 30 minutes. You'll likely remember more later, and you'll feel calm and prepared when it comes to exam time. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.